A copy of God's Word offered to you quite freely and without any cost or obligation to you, that is. It is the Word of God, New Testament of the Bible, and as I say, offered to you quite freely, yours freely to receive. Here, that of course you can read the words of Jesus, Son of God Himself. It's his testimony, a record concerning what he has accomplished, in order that men and women such as yourself and myself, even children too, can come to a knowledge of their Maker, of the living and true God, the one, of course, in whom you live and move and have your being. I think that's the most a profound statement, in all the pages of the Bible. In Him we live and move and have our being. Without Him you can't have an intelligent thought. Without Him you can't breathe. You're dependent upon Him, whether you care to acknowledge it or not. So read about Jesus. Read about the Creator of the universe and the Savior of His people here in God's Word. Like a copy, do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly, delightfully place into your hands if you would like one. Jesus says to us in John's Gospel, if you've got a Bible with you here in Stafford today, I would be somewhat surprised, but surprises, they do come and go. But if you've got a Bible with you, maybe perhaps you would like to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 6, where we're at today, where Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And then he goes on to say, he says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Several things take note of here, that one, in order to be saved, to get right with God, to be justified, by His grace, you got to come to Christ, He that cometh to me. And Jesus assures us, that for the one who does come to Him will not be cast out, turned away, that is. So you got to come, and how do you come to Jesus? He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father," gets right with God, that is, has access to God, "but by me." One way and one way only, And Jesus is that way. So coming to Him, you must needs, although you cannot, I say to you this afternoon, might sound kind of like double dutch to you, but it really isn't, if you hang about and listen long enough. You must come to Him, though you cannot. But I urge you to, because only in coming to Jesus, that's not the same as coming to a religion. That's not the same as coming to a church. That's not the same as subscribing to some religious order. No, my friends, coming to Jesus through a person, and a person who has done something, something profound, something of earth-shattering proportions, I say to you. He has taken upon Himself our nature and come down out of heaven, all the way from glory, all the way from heaven, down into the sin-cursed earth, amongst sin-cursed people, to save and to deliver them. And not only that, by living a blameless, a perfect life, the kind of life that you and I ought to have lived but have not and cannot for the life of you. Impotent, powerless, my friends, in your sinful state and condition. So, my friends, Jesus, He's lived the life we ought to have lived. And so, when a person comes to Him, in faith, that is, trusting in Him, they get credited to their account. They get credited to their account that life, perfect life, that He has lived. And God looks upon them just as though, just as like, they had never, ever sinned in all their lives long. for coming to Christ. You see, you must needs come to Christ for righteousness. But then, of course, coming to Him, you have to come to Him via the cross, because He came not just to live, not just to live in love, but He came to die on that cross. You see, it was all predetermined by God His Father from before the foundation of the world that He should come and live that life and die that death specifically on a cross, hung on a tree, cursed of God, and bearing upon Himself the curse that hangs upon this world of humanity today because of man's sin. My friends, He died taking that curse upon Himself so that all those who come to Christ, come to Him as you must do in order to be credited with the righteousness of Jesus, the righteousness of God, and in order, my friends, for your sins to be forgiven, blotted out, for you to be washed and made clean, you must come via the cross. And then, of course, then you must peer into the empty tomb. The tomb where they laid Him after they crucified Him, after they killed Him. Or rather, I should say, after He laid down His life, because His life wasn't taken from Him. I laid down my life, He says. I laid down my life for my sheep. Not for the goats, not for everybody, only for His sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep, He says, and I take it again. So you come to the empty tomb, you see, and you peer into it, and you see, well, He's gone, He's not there. Where is He? That was the question of one of His disciples. Where have you put my Lord, my Master? And the answer to the question is given to us in the Bible. Raised from the dead, my friends, a living Savior. That's who you must come to. Not a dead prophet, you know, from the Middle Eastern backways and deserts of Afghanistan. But no, my friends, a living Savior, one who's alive from the dead and alive forevermore. Lived a perfect life, died on that cross, raised again by His own power from the grave, and alive forevermore. A living Savior, my friends. And able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God by Him. So coming to Him, you see, coming to Christ, you must needs come to Him. In order, that is, to be saved. In order, that is, to be justified before God, made right with God. And of course, well, we all need that, don't we? We all need to be made right, because we're not right in ourselves. We're altogether wrong, don't you know? If you've not seen it in yourself, well, I'm sure you've seen it in others, because, well, we want to be like that, aren't we? We think we're okay, you know? We and ours, we're okay, it's all the others, it's not us, you know? It's always somebody else to blame. That's, you know, kind of like the language of Adam, you know? It wasn't me, it was that woman you gave me. In other words, it was God's fault, you know, for giving Him the woman. Blame shifting, it's called, you know? And we all want to be doing that, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, my friends. Here's the depth of the matter. And I'm only just scratching the surface, believe me. Yeah? You were, every single one of us, were conceived in sin in our mother's womb. We were born in sin 9 months later. And all your days since you've lived in sin, and will die in it unless by the grace of God you come to Jesus Christ. Unless you come to Him, He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Him for salvation, for eternal life, for deliverance, for forgiveness. You're in a sin nature, you see. Conceived in sin, that means you come into the world with a sinful nature, out of which comes what? Nothing but sin. Nothing but sin, sir, that's all. That's all you do. Walk and breathe and talk and sin. That's all you are until you're changed, until you're transformed, until you're converted, until God, by His grace, gives you the enablement to come to Christ in order that you might not be cast out, in order that you might be saved and given eternal life and saved from sin and death and hell. But you must come to Christ in order for that to be the case with you. So he that cometh to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. So you come to Jesus, you come to Christ, you come by the grace of God, not by your will. You're not even willing to today, you don't even desire to. It's a matter of, it's a myth to you, it's a fairy story to you, it's something for you to delight in your mockery in. There's not even the slightest inkling of a desire to come to Christ. But I tell you, you must, because unless you do, you're faced with eternal damnation. My sheep, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep, not for the goats. The goats go to the left, yeah? They go to eternal destruction. Yeah, my sheep, he says, they go to the right, they go to everlasting life. You see, God has made a division, a distinction in the human race. There's a certain number of people that God the Father gave to his Son before the foundation of the world. Those whom the Father has given to him, they come to Jesus. And they come to him for salvation, for eternal life. They come to him, my friends, and they get saved. They get everlasting life. But not the goats, my friends, not the goats. God has made this distinction, this separation in humanity. The goats to the left, the sheep to the right. A division. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The seed of the woman, that's God's chosen people. And then the seed of the serpent, those who belong to the evil one, those that is reprobate, rejected, cast off by God, not to be saved. So you see, my friends, that's what Jesus tells us here. All that the Father giveth me, unless you've been given to Jesus, unless God the Father gave you to Jesus a long time ago, long before you were born, long before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, long before God even brought the universe, that he has conceived, that he has brought into being everything, God has decreed everything, from creation to the end, to the destruction of this world and the production of a new heaven and a new earth. God has decreed it all, even a number of hairs upon your head, and even the tiny little sparrow falling to the ground in your backyard. God decrees everything that falls out in this world. COVID-19, cancer, tsunamis, earthquakes, car accidents. There's no such a thing as an accident. Everything decreed by God. And even those who will come to Christ and not be cast out, who will come to him via the cross, where Jesus died for their sins, where he laid down his life for his sheep. When they come to the empty tomb, my friends, and find him gone, find him alive from the dead, when they come to Christ, you see, my friends, they get eternal life. They are not turned away. They are not cast out, because they were given. They were given to Jesus long, long, long ago, before they had ever done anything right or wrong, before they ever had a sinful thought, a sinful word spoken, a sinful deed done. They were given to Jesus long, long ago. And at some point, some juncture in their lives, in their history, they will hear the gospel that I'm declaring to you today. They will hear it and live. They will hear it and they will come to Christ. And Christ will receive them. You see, some people live with the notion, you know, that becoming a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, is about something that you do. Some kind of choice, some kind of decision that you make. No, my friends, it's not your reception of Jesus, it's whether he will receive you. and he will receive you only on the basis that you were given to him by his Father. If you are not, well, then you will not be received by him, and you will not receive eternal life. So you see, my friends, it's down to God, you see, not down to us. You have to be born again, Jesus says, you know. Not of the will of man, not of the choice of man, that is, you know. It's not of him that willeth, man's choice, yeah. And it's not of him that runneth, man's works. It's of God, you see. Born of God. Born again, you must be born again. Something that God does, you see, in the human soul. Putting his life into the soul of a man or woman, making them alive for the first time. All they've done is exist, you see, until this juncture. And then God puts his life into their souls, and they live. They're like one raised from the dead, you know? You know, before that, they thought they were alive. They thought they were living. But now, of course, they see, they understand that now I'm alive for the first time in my life. And my friends, fools mock at sin. Huh? You silly, silly woman. What are you like? Like I say, you prove it every time I come out. You prove the matter, eh? In some foolish, silly, stupid way, you prove the thing, exact thing that I'm saying. Well, the Lord of mercy and of pity upon your mocking, foolish souls. So, you see, my friends, as I was saying before I was rudely, profanely interrupted, my friends, it's down to God, you see. God's doing, not yours. God's deciding, not yours. Jesus receiving, not yours. Those given to him, if you've not been given to Jesus by his Father, well then, my friends, you cannot come to him unless the Father draws you, he says, you see. Delivered into the hands of Jesus, that is, you see. The one who is able to save to the uttermost. That's why his name is Jesus, don't you know? Jehovah saves, you see. He's the one who saves, Jesus. He's the one with the ability, the power, the supreme power. He is Jesus, and he's given that name because he has the ability that nobody else does to save you from your wretchedness, your blindness, your ruined state and condition and sin. To get you out of that sink of sin, to get you out of your delighting in sin. My friends, only by the power of the mighty Son of God could you ever be gotten out of that state and condition. I tell you, there's no man. I tell you, there's no religion that will do it. Not Islam, not the Church of England, not the Church of Rome. No apostate religion will do it for you. Only Jesus, only the person of Jesus, the mighty Son of God. He alone has the power, you see. So unless you've been delivered to him, unless his Father has put you into the hands of Jesus, delivered you over to him, well then you cannot be saved, because he only can save. He's the only Savior. He's the only mediator between God and men, no other. I mean, I guess God could have sent another Moses. Not good enough, you know. Maybe he could send some more prophets. Jeremiah, Isaiah, or one of the other prophets, you know. Maybe another John the Baptist. But no, none of them good enough, my friends. It had to be somebody else. It had to be somebody special. It had to be God himself. God himself was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. It was a job, my friends, too big for men, too big for you, too big for religious people, too big for religious societies, my friends, too big for Muhammad, too big for the Pope, too big for the Archbishop of Canterbury. No, no, my friends, God himself must do it. God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the mighty Son of God. So unless you've been delivered into his hands, well, you're in the hands of the devil. You're in the hands of your sin. You're in the hands of the wicked one. You're in the flesh, my friends. And the flesh profiteth nothing, says Jesus. It's the Spirit who gives life. So unless the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ is in you, unless He raises you from the dead, breathes life into your soul, raises you up, makes you a new creature in Jesus Christ, unless you're born again, you see, not of the flesh, not returning again to your mother's womb, not physical, my friends, but spiritual. Put spiritual life into your soul. But here you are today in the flesh, you know. And you can't understand it. You don't get it. What's he talking about? It's a lot of nonsense. It's rubbish. It's to be mocked. It's to be sneered at, you know. Because you're in the flesh, you see, you've got no life in you. The flesh profit is nothing. You get up in the morning. What's your first thought? What will I wear today? What will I eat? What will I fill my belly with today? Yeah? Just like the brute beasts, you know, that roam the forests and the fields, you know. Your thinking never gets any higher than a brute beast, than your pet dog sitting in its kennel. You see, my friends, until God, by His Spirit, breathes life into you, gives you life from the dead, you cannot come to Christ, will not come to Christ, never even have a thought, a concern about your soul's salvation, your eternal destiny, and of course a lot less of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So come you must, though you cannot, you must, I tell you, you must, or you shall perish. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But if you don't come to Him, if you cannot come to Him, will not come to Him, you will perish. Perishing now in your sin. Can't you see it, my friend? Men and women perishing all around you today. Look around you. Even here in the town of Stafford today. Look at the perishing souls. Huh? Their bodies are perishing. Their minds are perishing. Everything about them is perishing. Decaying, you know? Sooner or later, you know, some disease, you know, some deformity, dementia, perishing all the time, decaying. You're in a state of decadence and you're decaying all the time. From the moment you're born, you're decaying. Perishing, my friends. Now, in this world, in this lifetime, you're perishing now. Some of you in body, some of you in mind, soul. But of course, my friends, to perish eternally, everlastingly, if you do not come to Christ, that will be the end of you, you see. That day when God, by His Son Jesus Christ, the one you must come to today but cannot, the one you must come to today but cannot for the life of you, unless by the grace of God. You see, my friends, that one whom you must come to today, He's going to be your judge one day. Because you see, God has appointed a day. It's already marked in God's calendar. And the judge has been appointed. Not some human magistrate. Not some judicial beak, you know, that sits in the Crown Court of Stafford today. No, my friends, by His Son Jesus Christ, whom He raised from the dead, He is appointed. He is appointed your judge. So the one that you should come to today, but do not come to, reject, my friends, in that day when you breathe your last, you see, and go out of this world. Then you stand before Him in judgment. And He will dispose of you, my friends, accordingly. According to what you have done or not done with God's Son, Jesus Christ. You're called outwardly. The call comes to you, my friends. The call of the gospel, that is. Repent ye and believe the gospel is the call of the gospel. But you reject, my friends. You turn from it. You despise it, you mock it, you reject. Then, my friends, you're faced with the judge, the terrible, terrible judge, I tell you. Bible tells me His eyes are like brass, you know, piercing. burning, you know, and sat on that judgment throne, burning with fury, my friends, fury, because of your rejection of the call to repent and believe the gospel. You should have come. You were called to come. God was not mocking you. He was sincerely and seriously calling you, as he is today, to repent and believe the gospel, but you love none of it. And so in that day you will stand before that furious judge to give account of yourself, my friend. And disposed of, I tell you, disposed of, I tell you, into that pit of darkness and blankness for all eternity. Instead of eternal life, eternal death. Instead of eternal light, eternal darkness. Oh, my friends, come to Christ you must, and coming to him, well, he will, he assures us, he will in no wise cast you out, he will receive you. He came to his own, but his own, just like the people of Stafford today. Ah, they would have none of it. They would have none of it. But as many as received him by the grace of God, those that believed on his name, that is, he gave the right to become that which they were not before. Children of wrath before, now given the power, the authority, the right to become children of God. But there's the reason why you should come to him, because you see, from God's perspective, from yours, or maybe perhaps you think yourself but to be a delightful, a good person, but God says no. He says there's none good, and there's none that doeth good, none righteous, not one. So you see, my friends, a child of wrath is how God sees you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness and wickedness. Without excuse, my friends, without excuse. Oh, man, woman, a child, without excuse for not knowing God and not obeying the call. A child, children of wrath, that's what you are, apart from God, apart from Christ. There's no life, my friends. There's no salvation. There's no acceptance, no access to God. Only through Christ, the person of Christ, and the work of Christ, not your work. That's what your world religions will tell you. You know, Islam and C of E, C of S, Rome, you know. That's what they'll tell you, you know, do good works, you know. Yeah, believe, come to church, agree with us, but do good, and God will accept you. God says, no, I won't. No, I won't, he says, no, I won't. He says, no flesh will ever be justified before me by their own works. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. That's why you must come to Christ, to come to him and him alone. Not coming to the Pope, not coming to Muhammad, not coming to Canterbury, not coming, my friends, to a church, not coming to a religion. My friends, coming to Christ, because Christ alone saves. Coming to Christ and coming by faith alone. Not coming with, you know, some perceived goodness of yours, you know. Well, Jesus, he should accept me because, you know, I did this and I did that and I did the other, because I'm not like other men. I don't do adultery, I don't cheat people in the marketplace and so on. I'm a proper, right, paid up Pharisee, and Jesus ought to accept me. Well, Jesus will cast you out. Jesus will cast you out. But if you come to him empty-handed, if you come to him with nothing in your hand, if you come to him with nothing to offer, if you come to him with nothing but your sin, nothing but the carnage of your sin, nothing but your profanity, nothing but your fornication, nothing but your lying and stealing and cheating and coveting and adultery, if you come to him with all that, you will not be cast out. But those are the terms, my friends. Those are the terms, and God sets the terms, not you, not me. Find God's word, check it out for yourself. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, no question about it, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. It was his Father that sent Jesus Christ. The love of God in giving to humanity, in giving to this lost world, in giving them the gift of his Son, his only begotten Son, and giving him to live and to die and rise again from the dead. And what was the answer of the world? And what's the answer of the world today? Just the same as 2,000 years ago. Crucify him. Crucify him. He's not fit to live. Get him out of here. That was your voice. That was their voice. And that's your voice today. Just the same. Just the same. God sends you a gift and you spit on it, mock it, deride it. My friends, no man, says Jesus, no man can come to me except the Father, which sent me. The Father sent him, and the Son came in perfect obedience and perfectly did everything his Father gave him to do, to the utmost perfection, I tell you. A salvation perfected, fully completed, simply and only to be received by faith in the Son of God that loved sinners and gave himself for them. So no man can come to me except the Father.
Can I let him sit?
No. Use not. Get off it. Dear, oh dear. No man can come to me except the Father, send me draw him. But of course the method, the means by which God the Father draws people, those whom he has given to his Son, the way that he draws them to his Son. Oh, what I'm doing here today. How are you doing, sir?
Hello.
Have a good day?
Not bad.
That's good. Good to hear it. You're a Christian, sir?
I can't remember.
You don't remember, okay. No worries. Don't sweat on it, but trust in Jesus. So like I say, friends, you know, the way that the Father draws people, draws to his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, what I'm doing here today, you see, through the preaching of the gospel, that's the primary means that God uses, you know. He causes his Son, he sends his Son from heaven, and he sends him here to earth to die on that cross and rise again from the dead. But following that, you see, having accomplished this great salvation, God now sends his appointed messengers into all the world to preach the gospel, to tell people of this great salvation. So that those whom he has given to his Son, so that he can draw them to him by the preaching of the gospel. The hearing of the good news that there is salvation, there is eternal life to be found, to be had in Jesus, in coming to Christ. It's foolishness, says God. It's foolishness, the preaching of the gospel. My plan, my scheme, that which I've ordained, that which I've decreed, I've appointed, I've raised up, and I've sent my messengers to tramp throughout this sin-cursed world, lift up their voices, tell them about their sins, tell them about their transgressions, and tell them about the one who's mighty to save. But it's foolishness, says God, it will be foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, to those who are being saved, to those who are being drawn by the Father to the Son, those whom he is drawing, he causes them to hear. He gives them an interest in the gospel. They hear like nobody else hears. They don't hear just the voice of the preacher. They hear the voice of the Son of God. They hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus says, maybe the reason you don't hear my voice is because you're not one of my sheep. You've not been given to me by my Father. But those whom the Father has given to his Son, he draws them by the preaching of the gospel. He causes them to hear, and they follow Christ. They obey Christ, that is. And he gives unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish, my friends. Received by, they come to Christ, they're received by Christ, they're drawn by the Father to Christ, and they're delivered, my friends, from sin and death and hell, from your worst enemies. You don't realize it, I know. You don't realize it, you don't get it, you know. You won't agree with me, but believe me, my colleague and I, we're the best friends you've got in Stafford. You can go to your Stafford churches, my friends, and I tell you, you will not hear these things I'm telling you today. Like I said to you many times before, they'll sing and dance for you. They'll send you away making you feel like you're the best thing to slice bread, that God loves you and has no issues with you at all. They're not churches really at all, they're false churches. So you see, my colleague and I, we come to you Friday by Friday. You don't know it, you don't get it, you don't understand it, but I hope one day you might do. We're the best buddies you've got in the town of Stafford. Because we're telling you the truth, as it is in Jesus. That you might hear the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of the Savior, and that you might come to Him by the grace of God and be received by Him, that He might receive you and that He might deliver you from sin, its ravages in your life, eating at the vitals of your soul and delivering and destroying you, mind, body and soul, and will destroy you eternally, everlastingly, unless you come to Christ. Unless you come to Him, you cannot be saved. And unless the Father draws you to Him, you cannot come to Him. Not your call. It's not your call. Yeah. It's not your call. It's God's call. Yeah. Save you, deliver you, my friends, from death. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. Marked in God's calendar, don't you know? There's a decade. Yes, sir. Get it? There's a decade, there's a year, there's a month, there's a week, there's a day. There is an hour, there's a moment marked in God's calendar when you personally will breathe your last. You'll cock your toes up and go out of this world just like all the rest. And then you stand before God. You stand before the judge. Dreadful, dreadful judge in a dreadful, dreadful, fearful day when your bones will melt like wax and your heart will fail for fear in that day when you stand before the judge of all the earth. Unless you come to Christ, unless you come to Christ, you cannot be saved, you cannot be delivered from sin and death and hell. Hell, the pale horse and its rider, and death follows after him, and hell follows after him. Death and hell go together for the unbelievers, for the goats, those not given to Jesus by his Father, those not drawn to him by his Father, those who do not come to Christ. Oh, a dreadful, a fearful day. Oh, but he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up, says Jesus. Yeah. Death holds no fear for the believer. I give unto them eternal life, says Jesus. Death has no hold, it's been broken. The sting has been removed, it has no power. Jesus will raise them up at the last day to a judgment, my friends. A judgment not of condemnation. Hello, how are you? On a good day?
Yeah.
Good. Enjoy it. Have fun. So like I say, my friends, raise the judgment, but not a judgment of condemnation. rather a judgment of commendation. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That will be the declaration in that day. My friends, for those who have believed, trust. No, please. Please. Thank you. Have a good day, kids. The trials and tribulations of a street preacher. So, raise, my friends, raise to glory, to heavenly glory. What a salvation! What a Savior! What a mighty Son of God! What a loving Father! Oh, my friends! My friends, I feel nothing but pity for you. Nothing but pity. My heart yearns. My heart aches for you. I tell you again, for 42 years now I've been coming to this town, telling you again and again and again the same things. Words fail me to tell it any differently. But you cannot hear. You cannot hear. I tell you to come to Christ, but you cannot come. Stone deaf to God. Stone deaf to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Blind, not knowing where you're going. Can't see the end from the beginning. Can't see the reality anymore. Mind's deceived, my friends. You live. Don't you know you live in the last days? That's what the Bible says. And in the last days, my friends, the Bible tells me that the powers of evil, of Satan, that old serpent, the devil, will be loosed upon the planet. And his primary tool is deception, my friends. Deception. Can't you see the deception that's abroad in your society today? Deception, my friends. Lies. In the political sphere, in the educational sphere, in medicine, it doesn't matter, the sphere of society, nothing but deception. You're told nothing but lies. It's the God of this age. It's the devil. He blinds the minds of men and women. He stops their ears. Yeah. And my friends, he keeps you from coming to Christ. The last thing that he wants you to do is to come to Christ, because he wants to populate hell with as many as he possibly can. That's his mission. But you must come to Christ if you're to escape his clutches. If you're to be saved from sin and death and hell, his end is the lake of fire. And that will be your end. Unless, my friends, you escape his snare. Unless Jesus sets you free from it. Unless Jesus gives you sight. Unless he heals your broken mind, your fallen reason. Unless he gives you life from the dead. Unless he breathes life into your soul. But he has the power for those who come to him. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by to the Father but by me. Life in Christ. But ye are not willing to come to me that you might have life. Come today. Come to Christ, my friends. You must. You must. You must. And the way, my friends, maybe the way that you start coming to him, listening to his voice, what he says, and you can hear it loudly and clearly in his word in the Holy Scriptures. They testify of me, says Jesus. There you'll hear his voice. And what does he say to you? He says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Stafford. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's the only way you can enter it. Maybe a step further. take a copy of His Word home with you. The New Testament of the Bible offered to you freely, without cost or obligation to you. Offered to you, take, read, study, digest. Open it up, get on your knees in your living room, and cry out to Him that He would have mercy upon you, a sinner. And give Him no rest until He comes to you, until you know that you have eternal life, until you know that He has pardoned you, until you know that you have been born again, until you know that you're saved. So the Word of God, He says, offered to you, freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You'd like one? Feel free, come and ask for one. Gladly placed into your hands. But may the Lord, may God, Almighty, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, may He have mercy, Stafford, upon your perishing, never dying souls.